Oh man, I'm just so overwhelmed. Just during worship, I just keep hearing just the joy, 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 joy. You know, the Bible talks about that in this presence, there's fullness of joy. And it also says, I think in Nehemiah, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you're looking, if you're in a situation, battling depression, going through some things, I mean, we all go through some things, all you have to do is get into his presence because there's fullness of joy. It says fullness of joy, not partial. There's an unlimited supply that we can dive into. And I just keep hearing that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, God. We just stand right quick and just stretch our arms to heaven. And Lord, we want to say thank you for what you're doing. God, we love you. We just thank you, God, for your presence, God, for just being with us, God, for choosing to be with us this hour, this minute, this second, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do, what you're doing in this place. We already thank you for the healings that are taking place, not even in this place, but Lord, as we're even going out, Lord, there are healings that are just happening, God. And that's all for your kingdom and your glory, God. So those, Lord, that have a need today, God, that need healing in their bodies, God, we just say healing to flow in this place and touch them right now. Those that need to be set free, set them free. Those that need some type of miracle, God, let it be so in Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, we just say you come, encounter us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I do too want to give a quick testimony. I want to say I am of the younger side, not the older side of miracles. So I've been doing a lot of praying or ministering at the gym. If you ever want to go and minister to people, I think the gym is a great, I mean, come on, Paul and Vic, and there's some guys here that know very well about how, you know, having a ministry in the gym is a great place, right? There's always people getting hurt, and so so there was this coach. I was taking this class, and it was kind of like a running class. And she comes in, and she was supposed to compete for this. It's called High Rocks, this competition. She comes limping in, and I say, hey, what's wrong? She says, I think I hurt my knee. I think I pulled it when I was, doing these jumps and stuff like that. And so I said, oh, that's perfect. And then she's already getting set up. So I said, can I pray for you? And she looked at me and said, what? I said, can I pray for you? I said, I'm a believer, and what's been happening as of late in our church is we've been seeing miracle signs and wonders happen, and people have been healed of knees. And so she said, okay, come on. So I put my hands on her knee, prayed for her, and I said, test it. She goes, wow, something's different. And she got healed. And it was like, and so it's just something that doesn't happen here on Sundays, just like you were just saying, right? In fact, this is kind of what I wanted to share a little bit about when it was funny because you were mentioning all the different messages that our preaching team had shared. But I wanted to talk about complacency leads to complexities, but it's your commitment to the Lord that cultivates your faith and stirs your compassion. Let me say it again. So complacency leads to complexities, but it's your commitment to the Lord that cultivates your faith and stirs up your compassion. So, you know, before I dive into the message, again, I wanted to re-highlight some of the messages that our preaching team has shared over the past few weeks. Now, I believe it's important that we hear these messages. And I would say is, if you haven't heard the full message, to go to the YouTube channel and listen it to it over and over again, because it speaks something to us. But there's a common theme in these messages, and there's really a call to action. in which these messages, in which my message also reflects. So I want to start with, and again, I'm just going to highlight just some things that were said. And this was Cammie's message, and I don't know the exact date, but her message was take a risk. It says, now's the time more than ever to give feet to our faith. It's our works in him that someone else might get saved. So we need to go out and plant our seeds. It's not because of your work, but it's not without it. Because what God has done in me, I want to see that in other people. We want to see next year around this time, this place is full because we're affected the lives of generation, city, state, nation. Just paraphrasing that. This was Kirk's message. Such a time as this. And there's so many different nuggets that you shared that really just highlighted in my heart. But I really took it in a way that it was really talking about the gospel, the message. And so here's some of the points that he shared. And this might be he was talking about disruptive technologies. And I took that as really being the message of the Lord. And he said, learn not to be ashamed of what you're bringing to them. It's so easy to play it safe or what works, what they are currently doing. When you are bringing or threatening the way that people look at things, there's a lot of opposition or lack of support. You have to really hold on to, I don't care that nobody believes this, see this, or agrees with this. I'm going to hold on to this and not turn loose. He says, if you want to practice what's disruptive, you have to practice and share it. That's a good word. Let me say it again. If you want to practice what's disruptive, you have to practice and share it. Our focus is not getting off the earth into heaven, but having heaven on earth as it is in heaven. The message of the kingdom will never be comfortable or convenient. How does his kingdom come? How does his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? It happens through relationship and communication. His kingdom comes when he speaks and his word is heard, received, and responded to. Through us, we are his hands and feet. It's the power of the gospel, and there's a window of opportunity. This was Paul's message. And again, I'm just going to run through these really fast. There's such a hunger for the Lord. People are looking for encounters. What have you done with your talent? We need to sustain ourselves with our oil. We can't wait on anyone else's to kick you into gear. It doesn't start later, it starts now. What are you doing in preparation? When you don't step out, who are you trying to protect? Are you trying to protect them or yourself? We can't operate on feeling, we need to operate on truth. Have you stopped growing and bearing fruit? It's you are planted in that place for a reason. There is only you that have a place of impact. Only you can reach that area. You may be the only or last Jesus they see. We can't let time pass by and say, I have done enough. We can't wait for the right moment. How have you been stewarding your gifting and talents? Everyone is in this place is called for ministry. We have found excuses of doing what God wants us to do. And this is Dan's, Healing 101. When you know your worth, you're not afraid of anything. Let me say it again. When you know your worth, you're not afraid of anything. Don't be afraid to step out. Pray for your managers. Pray for your coworkers. I didn't feel led to pray for people. I just step out. I just see the need. It's not a complex thing. Just step out. It's not about healing. It's about loving people. These messages are really challenging us, if not propelling us to step out of our own comfort and to turn away from complacency. You know, in Zephaniah 1:12, it says, it will come about at this time that I'll search Jerusalem with lamps and I will punish the men who, like old wine, are stagnant in spirit. Who says in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. See, complacency leads to complexities. But it's your commitment to the Lord that cultivates, which means tills and prepares your faith. and stirs up compassion, because without faith, as we know, it is impossible to please God. And it's with compassion that we see God move. The definition of compassion, a feeling of sympathy and sorrow for others, along with a desire to help relieve their suffering. In Latin, compati, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but means suffer with. Compassion means someone else's heartbreak becomes your heartbreak. Another's suffering becomes your suffering. And here's a neat thing. It says the Hebrew word for compassion is rakham, R-A-K-H-U-M, which is related to the word rekhem, R-E-K-H-E-M, meaning womb. To be compassionate is like how a mother cares and nurtures their baby. That's where we get the womb from. And in Exodus 34, 5, and 6, this is where God relieves or kind of shows his character, reveals his character to Moses. And I'm speaking in the Amplified. It says that the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with Moses as he proclaimed the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and true faithfulness. The God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, he sent his only son, Jesus, to sacrifice so that we may have life and have life abundantly. You know, I've been really thinking about that word, or just what, you know, just kind of the meaning of compassion. And he just keeps taking me through the ultimate sacrifice, which was his son. And for someone to do that, that's what true compassion is really about. I couldn't imagine, you know, having Jasmine, using Jasmine as a sacrifice for mankind. I wouldn't do it for y'all. I just wouldn't. Now, Micah, maybe when he was younger. I mean, only Bree and I would know that. There were some times. You younger folks will know. There were some times. But, you know, true compassion really changes the way that we live. It truly does. And that's always been my heart cry is, Lord, give me your compassion for people. Give me your compassion for people. I'll say I was a hard, you know, when back in high school, middle school, I was a hard person. And a lot, I went through a lot, circumstances, situations, things with parents, really hardened my heart. And I noticed that I was really rough around the edges. I was hard to talk to just because I had anger all the time, it felt like, or anger in my heart. And I really had to ask the Lord to soften my heart. But one of the things that I asked him was, Lord, give me your compassion. Show me what compassion is really about. See, true compassion, like I said, changes the way we live. It diffuses selfishness, and it changes us to be more like Christ. In Philippians 2, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, if there is an encouragement and comfort in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, there's any fellowship in the Spirit, if there is any great depth of affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith. Let me say it again. And living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel. The good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. If your life doesn't reflect your faith, then what is? What is? So Pastor Allen and I have a lot of similarities. Yes, we're both bald, but we're good looking, according to our wives. I'm Filipino. He's been to the Philippines. He likes Filipino food, so that makes him partial Filipino. Well, one common denominator is we don't like being in front of the stage. I don't like being in front of people, to believe it or not. I don't. But for us, and I'll speak for both of us, that's the calling of God that's been placed on our lives. And so Romans 8:28 says this, and it says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." He said again, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. So how many of you love God? I would hope so. Then you're called to his plan and his purpose. You're called to his plan and purpose. If you love God, you're called to his plan and purpose. And complacency is not part of that plan. Complacency is not. I said complacency is not part of God's plan. When we are moved by compassion, we start to see breakthrough and healing. Matthew 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. So Jesus, Matthew 20, 34 says, so Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Mark 1, 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. See, when we have compassion for others, sharing the gospel doesn't become a chore. It doesn't become a to-do list. Oh, Dan came up here, he preached about healing, and to go do it. All right, I'm going to go do it. No. That's not how it works. Luke 10, 30 through 37. I'm going to read through this. This is about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem and Jericho and encountered robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings, beat him, and went their way, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed him on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also came down the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, who was traveling, came upon him and he saw him and he was deeply moved with compassion for him. And went to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them to soothe and disinfect the injuries, and he put him on his own pack animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, just 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return. Which of these three... This is Jesus asking the question, which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to the man who encountered the robbers? He answered, the one who showed compassion and mercy on him. Then he said to them, go and constantly do the same. He didn't say go and partially do the same. He said, go and constantly do the same. So I want to end with this story. And many of y'all probably have heard this story. And it talks about one day a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking up starfish and throwing them into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "Excuse me, but what are you doing?" The boy replied, "Throwing the starfish back into the ocean. The sun is rising and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they'll die." The man laughed to himself and said, "But there's too many starfish on the beach. You can't possibly make a difference." After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it into the ocean. Then turning to the man, he said, "I made a difference to that one." You know, it was just kind of going back to my testimony, and it was God's compassion over me that, you know, I'm alive today. I would say that death tried to take me out at least multiple times and didn't have its way. And then one night, before my last near-death experience of being jumped by a gang that was trying to initiate, going through an initiation, a person walked into my room, a dark room late at night. Before that, I was crying out to the Lord, telling the Lord, I said, I don't want to do the things that I'm doing anymore. I don't want to... I was just tired. I was tired of just running, tired of just trying to dodge life or dodge death. And that evening, again, this man just walked into me. A bright light just walked into my room, stuck out his hand, asked me to reach out to his hand. I grabbed his hand, and it disappeared. And I heard the words again, "Welcome home, son." Jesus. Jesus walked in the room that evening. Changed my life forever. Changed my life forever. And this morning, if there's anyone here that doesn't know about this man Jesus that we've been talking about, that we've been sharing, even during worship, I saw his presence just walking in through the room, just walking around, and I could just feel his presence, and it was just so sweet. And he's here with us right now. And if there's anyone that doesn't know who Jesus is, I want to introduce you to him. And if there's anyone that wants to receive him as your Lord and Savior, you could just wave your hand towards me, and we can definitely pray. Is there anyone here? I don't want to leave anyone out. I'm not saying if God were to come today, I just want to know for sure that if anything were to happen, that you would be the one to be in heaven with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I wanted to pray. I just wanted to quickly just release. Well, let me just kind of navigate here first. So again, there's been a call to action. Again, a lot of and there's nothing against what, you know, Sabata's preached or Alan's preached. I just believe the messages were lined up for a specific reason and purpose. And it's for us to not be stagnant or complacent in our walk with the Lord. And God has called us to be a light into the darkness. He saved us, so we also can go save others. And so I just want to remind us that you're never too old, you're never too young to share the gospel. You're never too old, you're never too young, you're never too educated, uneducated to share the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ma'am, can I pray for you in the pink? Do you mind coming up?